The skies over Europe are not so friendly these days. In fact, they're downright nasty, as a war of words escalates over the EU's new airline emissions scheme. The European Union says airlines that fail to follow its new law requiring them to account for their greenhouse gases could be banned from European airports. If emissions exceed a cap, airlines will have to pay a fee, a carbon tax. China and the U.S. say the EU cap-and-trade system will just raise ticket prices, and they might retaliate. To learn how all this could play out on the ground, I spoke with John Mulligan. He's FedEx United Airlines resident research fellow at the International Aviation Law Institute at DePaul Law School. Well, Mr. Mulligan, welcome to Living on Earth.
Welcome. Thank you for having me on.
So how does this European Union emission trading scheme work?
As an airline, you're allowed a certain amount of a certain number of tons of carbon you're allowed to emit. When you fly and land into Frankfurt, you will have to hand over the requisite amount of allowances or permits for tons of carbon that you have emitted based on the amount of fuel burned on your trip or the amount of miles flown. So you'll hand over those allowances. Large amount of those allowances, at least at first, you'll have been given for free. But as you continually fly back and forth, if you run out of the allowances you were given freely, you'll have to purchase more on their carbon market.
So this applies to all airlines flying in and out of Europe?
It does.
Well, the United States, China, many other countries don't like this idea.
Not at all. They seem very upset about it. I think it's really a sovereignty, or you could say a turf issue. The objection seems to be that they don't perceive the EU as having the legal authority to impose those kind of regulations on their airlines.
What kind of recourse do countries who don't like this have? Do we just not fly or take off from Europe?
Well, a number of the U.S. Airlines have already filed a lawsuit in the Court of Justice for the European Union, the decision of which was handed down shortly before Christmas, alleging that this violated various international law principles, as well as the founding International Aviation Treaty, the Chicago Convention. And the Court of Justice ruled that the directive implementing this regulation was in fact valid, that it was not a violation of international law. So that had been the primary legal avenue for contesting these measures. China still is discussing filing a separate and additional lawsuit. But at this point, it really seems that any recourse is going to be diplomatic. Either the U.S. or the Chinese government will step in and get into a standoff with the European Union.
What do you mean by a standoff?
Well, there have been threats from both the U.S. and China about retaliatory measures, implementing some kind of fees or fines on European planes flying in and out of the U.S. or China, presumably would be the retaliatory course. China has sent out indications that they are going to direct their airlines not to comply, that they're going to tell them not to pay the permit fees and not to turn over the requisite information needed to calculate what they owe. And the U.S., similarly, has the House of Representatives passed a bill making it illegal for U.S. carriers to comply. And that's currently pending in the Senate. It hasn't yet been passed, and I'm not sure if it will be.
So airlines that are going to be flying into the European Union have to pay for the greenhouse gases over their allowances. How much are they allowed to emit?
Well, the total allowances are capped at 97% of what the average allowances were from the 2004 to 2006 period. So out of that that capped figure, 85% of the allowances, the tons of carbon that can be emitted, are distributed to various airlines for free based on some formula by which the airlines apply to the EU for permits and are granted free ones. The final 15% will have to be purchased on the open market.
So where does the money go? What happens to the money that I pay an airline to enter into this cap and trade so they can purchase these emission allowances?
should the airlines raise ticket prices in accordance, the extra money will obviously go to the airlines. If the airlines need to purchase the allowances, that gets a little bit more complicated. Should they purchase the credits through the EU market, that money ultimately goes to one of the governments of the various member states of the EU. And while those governments are supposed to use that money for emissions mitigation purposes, that's not a legally binding requirement. And there is definitely some concern on the part of the airlines that that will just go into the general treasury funds of the various EU member states, who most of which need it right now.
I recently bought an airline ticket to Europe, and the ticket itself was like $280, and there was like $500 of extra fees, including $190 in fuel charge. So why the big brouhaha over this fee when we've already got, you know, fuel surcharge fees and landing fees and all the rest of it?
The backlash hasn't been a consumer-driven issue or about prices so much. It's really been about international legal principles and who is allowed to regulate what. That's probably the primary issue. Additionally, there are, you know, climate change happens to be a particularly controversial, toxic political topic in some arenas, and there are definitely some, say, members of Congress who very much get up in arms over any attempts to regulate in that area.
How big could this cap and trade, aviation cap and trade system, actually turn out to be, say, a few years?
Well, the amount at which emissions are capped is scheduled to reduce in the future, and the amount of allowances given away for free as will also expect to go down. So the while the initial costs to the different airlines aren't anticipated to be as high this year, they may get higher in the future. And conversely, the amount of emissions being reduced are expected to grow in the future. But as far as how big this can be, as far as whether or not this is a game changer for you know, reducing emissions in the aviation sector, I think that's probably unlikely. This is probably viewed, even by its proponents in Europe, as more of a good start, as right now there's nothing for aviation. This is the start of something, but whether you will see dramatic changes is very uncertain.
So, Mr. Mulligan, at the end of the day, is this cap-and-trade airline fee going to fly legally and literally?
Well, it's already in effect, and whether or not the EU is going to successfully convince non-EU states and airlines from non-EU states to participate remains to be seen, and will be an interesting thing to watch in the coming months.
Well, Mr. Mulligan, thank you so very much.
Thank you.